I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Rangers beat Celtic at Celtic Park. The gap at the top now sits at 13 points. There were big wins for Dundee at the bottom and Hearts in the race for the top six. And the Scotland squad meets up for training ahead of the Greece doubleheader with Ipswich striker George Hurst included in Steve Clark's group. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Well, I listened to you boys in here yesterday, Gordon. It was a terrific derby encounter with goals, with drama at both ends, with nerve-shredding tension among the home and away fans. A tremendous atmosphere from start to finish. It looked at one stage as if the hosts of favourites were going to storm back in the second half. When they got the second goal, it was on a knife edge again. But it ended up with the away team's centre forward smashing home that dramatic clincher at the end. Well done, Dundee.
I knew it. And I was wondering at first, where is this going? And then it was just the bit about the home side coming back. I was on to you, Andy Halliday. I think I know which of the two big derby wins for the away side will get the most airtime on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But there we are. That's the way of
life. Can I be really simplistic in my opening line? What an advert for Scottish football yesterday was. Two fantastic games, loads of goals, loads of quality, loads of the frantic nature, loads of talking points. I'm sure we're going to get into them just now, but again, I must stress, what an advert for Scotland.
Can I be really honest, when he said that there, can I just be really simple? I thought he was going to go rogue. I thought like all the years of coming on this show to react to Rangers defeats in these fixtures had tipped him over the edge. I thought he was going to say something really regrettable. I'm glad you did that.
You must have been annoyed when the show actually finished at 4 o'clock. You know, you want to stay
sitting here all night.
You want to stay right to the end of the show, don't you?
I was disappointed that we never finished off the M&S biscuits we had yesterday, I must say.
Unlike some pundits who left early yesterday, incidentally. Oh. Happy birthday, Gordon DL. But 0141 951 1025, come on. You know that the day after an Old Firm game is kind of what this show was made for. So give us a call, whatever it is that's on your mind. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, how good was it? What was good about it? Who impressed you? What about the key moments in the games? And what does it all mean, if anything, for Barry Ferguson? Celtic fans, how bad was it? Where did it go wrong? What about the key players who maybe didn't contribute the way you would want them to? What do you think about Brendan Rodgers and the way he went about his business? And of course, no one's going to pretend the big picture isn't still very favourable towards the Celtic side of the city. So what does that mean, Celtic fans? Are you feeling okay about things because of that, waking up this morning? Or is it still a sore one to take, given you would have expected, like everyone else did, for a home win? So give us a call, 0141 951 1025, to whet your appetite over the weekend. Roger Hannah, I think I might know what's coming, but your result of the weekend?
The result of the weekend has to be Rangers yesterday. They hadn't won at Celtic Park in 5 years. Barry Ferguson had never been to Celtic Park as an away manager. They went 2-0 up. They thoroughly deserved it. They got hauled back to 2-2. You would have fancied Celtic to go on and win the game, but they responded and they got the 3 points.
Absolute power move from you, because that means Andy Halliday can't choose Rangers as a result of the weekend. So what are you giving?
Well, I'll go for the other event that was in part of the advert for Scottish football we mentioned. I'm going to go for Dundee, and I tell you what a game it was.
It was amazing.
We were so lucky to catch the first 45 minutes in here, caught the second 45 minutes back home, and again, also the second half didn't disappoint. A huge result in the context of the league as well. Mm-hmm. Nobody else in the bottom six winning at the weekend. So Dundee, huge opportunity to claw some points back and get that wee bit of a gap between them and St Johnstone.
You also were spoiled for choice, if I do say so, for goal of the weekend. Yeah.
I'm glad Rodgers going first.
Go on then.
Well, if I'm giving Rangers the result, probably have to give Hamza Egerman the goal. Jack Butland's first ever career assist, you were telling me beforehand.
I just read the stats somewhere, but yeah, take it from me if you so wish.
And I think, as Chris Sutton said in co-commentary, it stayed hit.
Andy?
I mean, I've got so many to choose from, but again, I'm just going to lean towards a teammate and I'm going to go Callum Slattery. For 2 weeks in a row, he got my performance at the weekend last week, but I'm going to go for his first goal at the weekend. Route 1 direct, as a lot of kickoffs in Scotland are just now, but he does fantastic to get his body in the way with Gogic putting him off, and then that lovely little set up touch, stroke the outside the foot, the outside the box, really similar to Khartoum's last week.
Yep. 50 seconds after the St Mirren goal, was it? Okay, I'm not going to grumble with that choice. Howler of the weekend?
The big game of the weekend was yesterday. I've mentioned it already, but I think we have to go, unfortunately, with Alistair Johnson, not his finest hour. A bad slip, unfortunate for the Eggerman goal, and then the chance right at the death for 3-3. We probably actually needed to see it a couple of times to realise what a good opportunity it was to level, and he skied it. Great player, bad afternoon.
I'm going to go for Jack Walton. Oh, I'm sticking to the other game. I'm sticking to the Dundee derby. I think it's so uncharacteristic for what we've seen from him this season. He's been excellent between the six for Dundee and Dundee United. Sorry, and that's why they've had such a good defensive record and where they are in the league. But he will not want to see the second one back again. You know, Tiffany's shot's right in his midriff. Sometimes I give goalies the benefit of doubt, and it takes that bobbly bounce in between them, but straight into him. And he managed to spill it over the line.
See, if you listen carefully, you can just about hear the St Mirren fans shouting, I knew that Motherwell biased midfielder Andy Halliday wouldn't go for Olasanya's red card for Howler of the
for weekend. 8 fouls in 90 minutes, that usually gets you 2 bookings.
Oh,
mate,
listen to this guy, honestly. I'm not digging in like that. What about your top man then, top performer?
Jordan McGee, starred for the D. Andy Halliday's future teammate at Motherwell. Two terrific goals from right back. He was a guy, you know, along with two or three others, Simon Murray, Josh Mulligan, guys like that. Terrific performance with the D. Absolutely typified by McGee's performance. And I'm not sure if he would play him at Motherwell next season. He's so versatile. He could plug three or four holes.
He'd take his place.
Well, welcome him, that's for sure.
Anyway, 0141 951.
Oh man, I'm getting my
sorry, who was it? I've kicked you out the Motherwell team and taken that off you. I thought you went first.
In a game where Rangers had so many individuals performing at a high level, I thought Nicholas Raskin was head and shoulders the best player on the pitch yesterday. Head and shoulders. And what a week he's had. You know, getting to the quarterfinal of the Europa League, getting his first call up to the Belgian squad, and then a man of the match goal and an assist in an Old Firm game.
Is he battery powered as well? It's quite a physical effort over the
crazy
week, wasn't it?
This new diet he's on's produced some engine in him.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Let's get stuck straight in. David is a Celtic fan. How much did that one sting yesterday, David?
Oh, it stung quite a lot. Taking a little while to get over it. Normally it's just a few minutes, but it lasted an hour. Well, first of all, my points are Celtic are not a one-man team just because McGregor is missing, because he played in the 3-0 defeat at Ibrox, where Rangers dominated the whole match. And yesterday, they did the same again. So Rodgers didn't learn anything from that match. And I believe that... sorry. My point is that Ferguson is a novice at the managerial position. And he sussed out everything, tactics, and how to play against them. Yet, Rodgers didn't work out.
So you think yesterday, although there's still, you know, a 13-point lead and Celtic going well, generally you think that reflects poorly on the manager yesterday?
Yes, I don't. I think we made a mistake selling Kyogo. Rangers played a back three yesterday. And Kyogo would have, I think he would have done really well. Unfortunately for him, he makes so many runs and he could have had a lot of more goals for them. For us.
Well, what do you think, Roger? Because again, there's obviously the big picture, and I'm sure some Celtic fans will over the course of the night point out that it's still 13 points and Celtic may well win a treble. But David is feeling that if you add this one to the last meeting, and maybe even elements of the cup final, that Rangers have sort of figured Celtic out, if that's the phrase, or it reflects poorly on the manager.
What was the stat, Gordon? I think that's the first time in 24 years Rangers have scored three goals in three consecutive games against Celtic, so they can clearly get at them. I know the point David's making, you know, Callum McGregor did play in the 2nd of January at Ibrox, but I thought Celtic missed him yesterday. And the glaring thing for me, David, yesterday was when Rangers were on top of the game, Brendan Rodgers inevitably looks at his bench. Wasn't much on the Celtic bench yesterday. You know, there's no McGregor, there's no Bernardo, there's no Forrest, he's just back at training. Kyogo's gone. There was no Trusty or Scales yesterday. And he put on Adam Eder at half time. He didn't get much of a kick out, Adam Eder. And then when he looked to the bench, you know, it was just a like for like. It was Yang on for Jota. You're not going to put Johnny Kenny on because you've already put Adam Eder on. There really wasn't much else. And I wonder if these performances, the two performances in the calendar year so far against Rangers, if they will concentrate a few minds at Celtic, and Brendan might need a few reinforcements in the summer. They will win the treble, I think. They'll win a treble. But I think in terms of squad depth, I think yesterday showed it's maybe not as deep as Brendan Rodgers would like.
What do you think, Andy, about, you know, David's point there?
Well, I'll take the Callum McGregor one first because I had to hold my hands up yesterday, Gordon, because I said before the game that I didn't think that Callum McGregor would be as big a miss as what was being portrayed from both sets of supporters, and I had to hold my hands up because I thought he was a huge miss. And I think, you know, when we spoke yesterday after the game, a lot that we spoke about was his miss on the ball, but I actually thought his miss out of possession as well was so important because, again, I can't remember Arne Engels making a tackle in the game or an interception in the game. And another thing that often goes underrated when we talk about these fixtures is Callum McGregor's leadership within the game. Because when Celtic then lose that first early goal and seem, I don't know if Roger agrees, as if they lose all type of composure for the first 15, 20 minutes of the game. And that's where you're hoping for your captain to then calm everything down. You know, maybe get your foot on the ball, get people round about you, make them compact. And that for me is why it was a huge miss. In terms of the, no, Brendan Rodgers not learning for the previous defeat, I must admit, I tend to agree. I think Rangers won the game on the pitch, and I thought between the two managers, I thought it was won in the dugout and the Rangers side as well.
Does it worry you going forward, David, or is this just a short-term thing?
Well, realistically, you're thinking Rangers are going to get an infusion of cash from their new ownership, and so that's going to take a few, maybe a year or so. And probably Celtic are thinking, well, there's a very good chance of getting another treble next year. But that is now fails into significance now, because Rangers have shown that they can beat them at will at the moment. Celtic are not playing very well, obviously. Some of the players didn't play good yesterday. And I think we should have invested in Vestergaarden, perhaps. That may be, in hindsight, an opportunity missed.
Mm. All right, thank you, David, for opening the show tonight. That was David, not too happy at the way yesterday reflects on Brendan Rodgers being outsmarted by Barry Ferguson, according to David. What about John, who's on the other line? How would you sum it up, John?
Well, first half was abysmal. As I say, they ruined my day in the 2nd of January. They ruined my St Paddy's Day today with that result yesterday. Once again, you can't get Rangers a two-goal snap at Parkhead. They were abysmal. It took us a wee while to go, but when we went to each, it was only, I thought it was only going to be 1-1. But we'd been back at Thursday night. I thought they were going to go to Europe. They played the extra time in penalties, and I thought we were going to scud them yesterday. It didn't happen that way. I'd like to know why he played the big boy. He didn't play a big boy sooner, the big centre-half boy, a couple of weeks ago when you won in 4-5-9. If you knew our boy's still there, you should have given him a chance before the game yesterday. All right, the boy didn't put a foot wrong yesterday, but the keeper was poor yesterday. Johnston was such the worst game I've seen him. Coon was off it as well. But as I say, I thought it was going to be 2-2, but they got to go. But they don't get trophies at Ibrox and St Paddy's Day. We'll still win the treble, I think, but it was a bad performance. It's frightening. It's frightening, 9 goals in the last 3 games. That is frightening to me, that defence. That's my point tonight, Matt.
They've ruined my St Paddy's Day. That's going to be the soundbite. It's 6:15. It's going to be hard to beat that, I think. But John mentioned some of the players that were off it. You gave Alistair Johnson your howl. And again, there's an obvious caveat there. How good's he been? How reliable
has he been?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. He's been a great player for Celtic. And I think the unusual thing is how poor he was. And it stands out because he was poor. Carter Vickers, Schmeichel were poor. Kuhn taken off at half time, really, really poor. Probably Jeffrey Schloop's most ordinary performance in a Celtic jersey. Andy was saying Engels didn't perform well in the six role either. So, you know, either £9 million when he comes on wasn't terrific by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, people come on and point at Brendan Rodgers and this and that and tactics and, you know, look back at previous games. If you just take yesterday in isolation, Celtic had too many players way off where they can be. And it doesn't matter if it's a Celtic Rangers game, a Motherwell St Mirren game, a Partick Air game. If you have six or seven of your main players not performing, you're going to lose the game.
Andy, I'm sure I can almost imagine Rangers fans saying, yeah, but we made them that way, or we contributed to that. But, you know, we didn't allow them to do this, that and the next thing. How much would you agree with that, and how much were there bad individual performances from Celtic?
Listen, both things can be true. I think Rangers forced Celtic into a lot of errors yesterday, but I also thought Celtic had a lot of unforced errors, you know, uncharacteristic, under no pressure. For example, Johnson for his role in the third goal. I think Cameron Carter-Vickers has got the clear advantage to go and win the direct ball for Jack Butland. Dessers doesn't actually make contact with the ball, and then Johnson just loses all bearings. I thought he slips at the time. When you actually see it back, he just loses his footing altogether. So I thought there was a lot of uncharacteristic errors from Celtic players. Again, you know, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Johnson are the two I look at. They seem to always be so consistent in this fixture. Yeah. So again, it's more that shock factor where we've not really seen that from that level of performance in this type of game. And I thought the two of them, fell well short of the standard they've shown.
You mentioned that 9 goals in 3 games, John. Is that a bit of a worry, or you feel like that can just be sort of fixed quickly?
Well, it's a big worry, mate. If he doesn't change the Ibrox the next game, it could be another three goals. He's going to need to change it. He never changed it yesterday. He said that Johnston was having a stink and put Ralston on. He didn't do that, but as I say, that is a big worry for me. 9 goals in 3 games. That must be a record. That must be some sort of record as a manager for Celtic. 9 goals against your old firm.
You said 24 years ago was the last
Celtic manager.
3-3. Anyway, John's had his weekend ruined. Hopefully it's been a better Monday for you, John. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs. All for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141-951-1025. Let's go to John in Ridley, who's on the line. John, you're still 13 points clear. Does that make you feel okay about things, or how annoyed are you from yesterday?
How you doing, Roger, Andy,
and John?
I'm going to take nothing away from Rangers, right? Because overall, okay, Celtic had all the possession and everything else that goes with it, but overall, they probably deserve to win it. They should have been out of sight by half time, right? But my biggest thing was I found Celtic very, very passive, very one dimensional. Normally Celtic pass it out to the wings and there's an option there to swing it in or whatever. It just didn't seem like that yesterday. And again, the other thing I'm going to say is, yes, missing Callum McGregor was a massive miss. That goes without saying. But normally they've got players on the bench that we can bring on or throw on if it's not working. We didn't have that yesterday. We had nobody in the midfield that could come on, or certainly no any that they even attempted, other than Yang. But he was only, they only brought him on because Jota was finished by that point. And it was just to see your points on that.
Just on it, John, what are you putting that down to? Because we've had a bit of a spread already where the manager got stick from the first caller. And I think the next one basically more put it down to players not doing their job. So which one for you?
For me, it certainly came across to me that and I hate to say this, but Celtic's just thought the odds today was turn up yesterday. And that's no, you put that down to the likes of, I've got a lot of friends who are Rangers fans, and I said to them, look, prior to the game, nobody used the excuse, or you guys are going to be knackered because you've played Dory minutes on Thursday night, etc. They're a professional football player. They can't get up for an Old Firm game, they shouldn't be wearing that jersey. And that goes for both sides. I just thought Celtic just never shown Rangers enough respect to get into this game on what could have potentially came of it. I think they only thought that today was turn up.
Listen, it was interesting. I was expecting Celtic to come flying out of traps, John, for two reasons. One, they were looking for a mark of revenge after the January 2 game, lost 3-0 at Ibrox, and also because they would have known Rangers went to 120 minutes in penalty kicks against Fenerbahce on the Thursday night, and there was that risk of fatigue, and they would want to expose that risk of fatigue in the Rangers players. And from that first kickoff, I think Rangers rolled it back to John Souter. He shelled it up into the corner. They were playing in the corner, a couple of throw-ins, a free kick, a couple of corners, and Rangers scored before Celtic were actually in the Rangers half. And Rangers just completely took control of the game in that moment. And it just seemed to spook Celtic. And listen, you can analyse it until the cows come home. The bottom line is, too many Celtic players underperformed yesterday. And you're quite right, when you underperform, the manager turns to the bench to replace you. The bench wasn't suitably stocked yesterday to allow Brendan Rodgers the changes. You think he allowed five subs? He only made two. He only made Ida and Yang come on in the second half because he didn't feel there was the players there on the bench that could influence the game.
See, if that is the case, Andy, how does that happen? No, if Brendan Rodgers has spoken all week about, you'll see the real, I'm paraphrasing, you know, you'll see the real version of us this time, we didn't do it last game, etc.
Well, it's into, I don't, we'll all remember the Celtic Rangers game last season when Dyza Maeda scores at Ibrox within 15-20 seconds when James Tarnow. Yeah. And I said at that time I thought Rangers looked spooked after that because the game plan we heard was, you know, high press, we're getting after Celtic, and then you can see the goal after 25 minutes, and sometimes as players just unnaturally, the game plan's out the window. Like, we need to try and get back into the game. I don't know if maybe that was a factor for Celtic yesterday, because I agree, I expect them to start quick. Quick question whether Rangers were feeling the effects for Thursday night. And I was really surprised Celtic, they never adapted anything within the game. Yes, they made changes, they brought Ida on at half time, and when they brought Ida on at half time, I then thought, I think Celtic are going to go with a slightly more direct approach because Rangers are really aggressive in their press, we're going to try and hit off a striker. But they didn't at all. It ended up kind of the same, passive. Again, what was it, 72% possession? About 30 of that must have been with Kasper Schmeichel, the amount of times he had touches with his feet. And I think it was Mark said it yesterday in the studio at the game, was passive out of possession, but passive in possession. So many backwards passes, so many backwards momentum, and Rangers took advantage of it.
That's the thing, you know better than me, Andy. Tell me if I'm getting this wrong. When Callum McGregor's on the ball, Callum McGregor moves the ball forward and he moves forward. Now, he doesn't spray 30-yard, 40-yard passes around. Maybe 5 yards into Hitati and then gets it back 5 yards further on, and he takes it and he brings it out the other side and he plays the wide men in, as John was saying. None of that happened yesterday. When Engels was on the ball, it so often went back to Navrotsky or it went back to Carter Vickers, then it went back to Schmeichel. And Rangers were happy with that because Rangers will be happy if Carter Vickers and Schmeichel are on the ball.
Yeah, and we said yesterday, 5 minutes into the game, I said Rangers have changed their press for Thursday night. They went with Cherney and Dessers as two strikers pressing Celtic's two centre-halves, and Diamande almost man-marked Arne Engels, shall I say. How many Old Firm games have Rangers man-marked Callum McGregor over the last 15 games?
And it's not worked.
And it's not worked because Callum McGregor will drop in between the two centre-halves, he'll pull out wide, he'll come short to spin in behind. I thought Arne Engels made Diamandé's job so easy to man-mark him. And it's too easy to just say, oh, I'm man-marked, I can't get involved, somebody else needs to get the ball.
John's weekend maybe didn't go to plan, but I've good news for you, John. You and everyone else that's called so far, and everyone else who does call, you will go into the hat for tickets to Ladies Day at the Scottish Grand National Air Racecourse Friday 11th of April. We've got two club badges every night, and then on Friday the chance to win tickets to the Legends Lounge. So all you need to do is call the show, get on the show, make a point, and you go into the hat. So the three callers so far are in there, as will be Albie in Rutherglen. Albie, every time there's a game like this, we always hear about what the losing team didn't do well. So tell us what Rangers did do well. What pleased you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The first half. Sorry, good evening, panel.
Hey, Albie.
First thing, Gordon, Andy, and I just think the Rangers' first half was outstanding. We played really well. We were aggressive. We were, to a man, probably the best team there in the first half. Second half, fair enough. We knew Celtic were going to come out and attack us. But I think that we still... We deserved the win. You know, the last few minutes, we had a few chances, and fair play to Eggerman. Fair play to Eggerman. He done the trick, and that was that. But what my point is with regards to, obviously, I spoke to your producer at the start of the call, and Barry Ferguson, for me, has made an absolute massive difference to that club. Coming in here in the 3 weeks he's been there, with regards to the guys that were brought in for manager, Philip Lamont, Michael Beale, even going back to Van Bronckhorst, I don't see why Barry shouldn't be given a shot at this for what he's done in the last 3 weeks. I know it's a big shout and people will say, no, he's not experienced enough, but see the difference in that team in the last couple of weeks. I know we had, obviously, St Mirren, Motherwell, but the difference in that team coming up against teams like Fenerbahce and then, obviously, Celtic and yesterday was absolutely huge.
What's different about it, Albie? What in particular?
A long, long time. And the fight and the determination was absolutely fantastic. And to be fair, Celtic were gutted. Fans, club, team, staff, players, they were gutted yesterday that they lost against us in their home ground. And that, for me, shows massive, massive respect to Barry Ferguson for what he's done. I'd just like to know what the guys think about that, especially Andy.
Take it away, Andy.
I'll start off with the positive aspects. As it stands right now, I don't think Barry Ferguson will get the job. I've said that on a couple of occasions, just because I think new investors, I think they'll look for a star-studded appointment, and they've asked Barry Ferguson to come in a difficult time, steady the ship, and do the best he can on an interim basis. Now, Barry Ferguson has Barry Ferguson 100% will have one eye on getting the job permanently. So what he has to do is, in this 3 month period, bulk up his CV as best as he possibly can domestically. These Old Firm games and European nights, where they make it almost impossible not to give him the job, that's not been done in 3 weeks for me. I think Michael Beale came in, got an initial bounce, went on a really good run. Philippe Clement came in, got an initial bounce, went on a really good run. I still think Barry Ferguson has a little bit more to do, or a fair bit more to do, to be honest with you, to get the job. Rangers issues for a good period now, because Rangers, for me, they might not have won them all, but for me, they've dominated the last three Old Firm games. Philippe Clement was in charge of two of them. Rangers issues in a lot of games has been when they have to break the other team down, like Celtic tried to do, had to do it to Rangers yesterday. When Rangers have to break down that low block, when the expectations on them to go and make things happen and win the game, I still think time has to tell if they can do that from now to the end of the season. But if Rangers going to, what is it, 8 games left, 8 game unbeaten run in the league, they win the Old Firm game at Ibrox and Barry Ferguson gets you another Europa League final, it's almost impossible not to give them.
It's just hard when it's a small sample, Roger. I think you said that yesterday. This is in no way a to say that Barry Ferguson can't get the job or that he shouldn't, and it's not a criticism of him, but Albie says, I've not seen Rangers play like this in a long time. Somewhere in Belgium, Philippe Clement might be saying, well, we did beat them 3-0 the last time.
But listen, in terms of long term job prospects, we simply don't know, because we don't know what Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers Enterprises people are thinking. You know, will the appointment be data driven the way they did with Leeds and Daniel Farke? I heard a similar question been asked to you in the phone in last night, Andy, you know, the difference Barry's made. For me, those Rangers players, we've seen in Europe and we've seen in previous Old Firm games what they can achieve in terms of technical ability. They're good players. I've criticised them in the past for a sort of lack of mental strength, if you like, in certain games. They don't, you know, they don't quite get it and they can't handle it. And I was thinking, when the caller asked you the question yesterday, I was thinking how I would have answered it. My thought is that Barry Ferguson, the one thing he's done, he's taken away a culture of excuse at Rangers. I think Philippe Clement allowed players, gave players excuses. You know, he thought a 1-1 draw at Dundee, well, it's a good point away from home. Barry Ferguson wouldn't think it was a good point away from home and wouldn't let the players off with results like that or performances like that. And I think the one thing he's given them is a reality check on what is required. And those players can do it. You saw it yesterday. You saw it in the 2nd of January. But too often the previous manager let their standards drop and let them away with things that I don't think they're going to be able to get away with again, if that's the right sentence.
I would be very keen, Andy, to find out which of those Rangers players would have been too tired to play under the previous manager. That's the one bit I think would have been really interesting to find out.
Well, it seems as if that Fleet come on, done a lot of the decisions for them.
Well, that's kind of what I mean, though.
Yeah. Well, Czerny, we'd seen him. He was in the red zone, where I'm using these air quotes. He was in the red zone, so he's not fit enough to play, so he can't start. We've seen it with James Tavernier. We've seen it with Nico Raskin as well. So we've seen it with players in the past. But again, I think, was it Marv that said before the game, I'm really shocked he's went with the same 11. Because that's been what we've been used to this season with Rangers, when it's been these quick turnovers in games. They've often made changes that, let's be honest, they don't have the same quality to come in and replace.
He did and he didn't, though. You know, you see Sterling and Tavernier switching. You see Yilmaz for Jeffrey was far, far better. Those front three, I like Diamande one on, but it was different from it had been in Thursday night. So there were little tweaks within that.
The Sterling and Tavernier switch for me was absolutely spot on. I felt as if that was something they should have done on Thursday night, but I thought it was spot on. I thought it worked perfectly yesterday as well.
You've definitely seen enough, Albie. He's the man for the job going forward.
I'm not saying I've seen enough, but I believe that he deserves an opportunity. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I understand what Andy and Roger are saying, but listen, I've watched Rangers manager in the last few years. You know what I mean? The last time he went to Celtic Park and a Rangers manager won his first outing was Walter Smith.
1991.
I think that says huge admiration for Barry Ferguson to go there and command the way the victory went with regards to, obviously, the first half. We knew Celtic, as I said earlier, were going to come out and hammer us in the second half, and they pulled it back to 2-2. But to find a goal, even in the last couple of minutes, you know what I mean? Where it was a goal like that, which was fantastic, or a dodgy offside, or whatever it was going to be, or a sneaky penalty, to get that victory in his first game and command how he commanded that team and how he wanted them to play and how he treated them and how he went towards Celtic and said, listen, we can beat this team. I granted Celtic are a good side, you know what I mean? Nobody's going to take that away from them, but we went there and we showed that we're capable of doing, and I've not seen that in Rangers for a long time.
I think it's a fair point, Albie, but it's funny, I've seen so many people saying today that, do you know what, I might not get the job, but I'd love him to see him be a part of the staff next year. Forget about that. No Barry chance. Ferguson isn't playing second fiddle after he's been in for 3 months and done a great job.
See, now though, are the Celtic games forming part of the same theory about Rangers with regards to what games they're really suited to playing in? You know, we've done this a million times with Europe. So the two main theories you hear about Europe is, well, tactically, they've got less of the ball and it just suits them better. The second theory tends to be around mentality. Maybe they are a bit better suited to being underdogs, so to speak. That would fit yesterday. They had about 30% of the ball, and everybody's on here saying, oh, Celtic will do this, that, and the next thing before the game.
Your question will be answered in the next fixture. I think the next fixture is Dundee away on a Saturday night. Now, Dens Park, you score an equaliser once for Rangers at Dens Park, I think, back in the day. Difficult game. Last season, it all began to unravel in that rearranged game at Dens Park. The initial game had been off because of the bad pitch, and then it all unraveled at the same time as the Dingwall trip. So, traditionally, in recent times, it's been an awkward place for Rangers to go. If they go there and drop points against the side second bottom of the Premiership, then people could rightly ask those questions, Gordon. If they go there and win 3-0, then, again, it adds further fuel to Barry Ferguson's prospects.
Sure. But I suppose then, in isolation, Andy, Rangers teams, no matter what situation they find themselves in, should still be able to go and win some of those games in isolation. That's what we're talking about, maybe just needing a bit longer,
which I think 8 games gives you that. Fair, and that's what we've got left. And like I says, that's his window. That's his period. The 8 domestic games and however many more European games he's got to see that he's the man to take them forward.
Thank you, Albie. You're in the hat for the tickets as well, Albie, to your races. So hopefully, whoever comes out the hat enjoys. Good time to call, by the way. 0141 951 1025. Give us a shout right now, and we'll do our best to get you on next.
Oh my God!
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
£475,000 could be yours in a matter of days. Grab your phone, text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £250 or you can call 0330 880 4523 and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Do not miss out on that type of cash. £475,000. Lines close 5pm Friday. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025 Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get your thoughts in. Let us know what you took away from the weekend. It feels like the vast majority of people obviously focused on Celtic Park yesterday, which is fine, but there were big stories all across the league. So if you want to get in touch there, you can, like I said, usual number or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the hat for tickets to Ladies Day at the Scottish Grand National Air Race Course Friday the 11th of April. So two club badges to give away tonight to one lucky caller. We'll do that every night. All you need to do is come on here and give us your point. So do it right now if you can. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from some of the managers. What about Barry Ferguson? He says he's starting to see the connection between the players, staff and fans that he's been trying to fix.
They have not even had time to think. I'm just praising the players. It's not nothing to do with me. It's all about the guys in there showing it's been a difficult season for them. And it's a lot of change for them as well. A new manager coming in, a new coaching staff, and a totally different way of approaching training and games. And I've got to give them credit. I'm delighted the way that they've took it on board. They're a really good group of boys, but what I'm starting to see is a real togetherness. And that's what you need, not just in the playing staff. I'm talking about the staff at the training centre in Ibrox. We need to try and get that connection back. We're starting to get it with the fans. And that was one of my driving forces when I came in. I just felt that was missing. And slowly but surely, we're starting to see that get back together.
Yeah, listen, I can't argue really with anything that he said after the game. He will be thrilled, A, to have won the game, B, that what he's been trying to get over to the players appears to have worked so well yesterday, and C, he will know at the back of his mind, if he's to get this job, then results like yesterday can only do him good. Andy mentioned he's got 8 domestic games, however many in Europe. He might have to win out domestically, including Celtic at Ibrox after the split, to really force the hand of Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers enterprises. But he's done himself a lot of good yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not only what he's doing, it's what he's saying. I think he's speaking really well. I think everybody by the end of his tenure got kind of fed up with Fluke Clement. As Roger said, he's kind of excuse making. But I think he's speaking very well as well. You've got to say very early on, I think Albie was a perfect example of that. He's starting to get that connection back between the clubs and the fans as well.
Let's get Brendan Rodgers' take on events as well whilst we are at it. He says he's disappointed with the performance, thinks they conceded poor goals, but does think a draw would have been a fair result.
We're obviously disappointed with the result. Probably a draw is a fair result. But yeah, give credit to Rangers, they win the game. We didn't start, inside the first 5 minutes, our idea to make a quick start. We conceded a poor goal, I think all three goals, in all fairness, from positions that we should be in control of. We concede. First half, not so good. Second half, we get the early goal, really good goal. And then from that, it looks like then we're the team that is in the ascendancy and can go on and win the game, get to 2 each. And there's a good feeling, good energy in the stadium. And then I just hope for us to go and make the next steps to get the goals. I think Jack Butler made some great saves throughout the day. But if you can't win it, don't lose it. And unfortunately, we make a mistake towards the end of the game and the striker finishes it really well. So it's so really disappointing.
That probably will be the extra frustration, Roger, because no one's going to say that was a good Celtic performance, but once they get level and you're at home, most people probably expect them to go on to win it. Yeah. But if not, you thought they would at least see out the game and get away with
the point. Momentum was with them. When Hatate scored for 2-2, I think everyone in the stadium would think if it was going to be a winner, it was going to be scored by Celtic. They had the momentum at that stage. Maida had scored early in the second half. Hatate from Luke McKeown's pass goes 2-2. You would think Rangers physically and mentally would have tired. I know Barry Ferguson said they're not tired, but they must have been tiring after the exertions of Thursday night against Fenerbahce. And yet he makes changes. You know, on comes Lawrence, on comes Nsiala, of all people, you know, seen for the first time since he was hooked after half an hour at Kilmarnock. On comes Egerman, and, you know, I gave it goal on the weekend. It's certainly the most direct goal of the weekend, I would think. One big ball over the top by Butland, and Egerman might never score a better goal for Rangers.
Right, we're nearly time for the news. Let's squeeze one more in if we can, though. 1419511025. Give us a shout right now. I think we do have one lined up. Let's go. Stephen is on. How are you, Stephen?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you? What have you got for us?
I was on Friday night and I says there was no Rangers player that were coming to the Celtic team. They were only there as bench warmers. I still say the exact same thing, right? But I also say the referee was horrendous yesterday. Absolutely shocking yesterday. He let Rangers players away with murder for the first 20 minutes before he even actually started talking to any of them. Never mind booking any of them. Absolutely shocking, the referee yesterday. But
see, on that, right, before we go any further, I know it's like a default setting after this fixture, but of all the games between these sides you've seen, Stephen, penalty decisions, red cards, offsides, disallowed goals, you seriously put in yesterday in the shocking refereeing category? Now, because we're not talking about what, you know, a wee tackle here or maybe a book in there. I'm not saying these things don't annoy you as a fan, but in the grand scheme of things, you think that was a shocking refereeing performance?
Yes, I really did. I honestly did. He wasn't even talking. Rangers players were allowed to kick Maida every test, and he didn't even talk to any of them. He didn't give any of them a warning or nothing. Not one of them.
Rangers players got a few booked in the end, did they not?
Yeah, and Celtic didn't have any booked.
In the end, not at the beginning.
Right.
See, if he'd have put his stamp on it straight away, it might have been a totally different game. And then another point I want to make is, what a low-life club that is, for the way they celebrated that third goal, and for Cherny to be squeezing water, air, people sitting in the crowd. How low can you get? That's embarrassing. As a football club, that really is embarrassing. They no wonder they sing the song "Nobody Likes Us, We Don't Care." They're embarrassing.
You know, there's this modern phenomenon, Roger, of when something happens, you take the name of the issue and you add "gate" to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Watergate. So we've gone full circle. It's like we need to stop using that phrase.
The problem with that was when I did it with Ross McCormack and it became "Gate."
That's a good point. Right,
they couldn't get out of the house.
It has obviously been a big talking point after yesterday. How do you... I mean, Stephen clearly feels very strongly about it. How would you sum up, you know, your reaction to that? I'm not sure I've really seen that before.
Stephen McLean's performance or the other
part? No, the Watergate, if I can make myself say that.
You shouldn't do it. There's no question about it. You shouldn't do it. It was a silly, puerile act by Václav Černý at the time. I think he was very fortunate that it didn't lead to more. I think there was a couple of Rangers backroom staff acting as sort of peacemakers in the immediate aftermath of it. I have to say, what I said to Andy earlier on, my own eye was taken at the time, not by that, but by Barry Ferguson's celebration where he picked up the ball and kissed it, which I hadn't really seen a manager do in the past. And it actually wasn't until moments later when people started talking about Cherny's act that I actually spotted it. It's not to be encouraged.
Andy, I think you've played in the fixture. I think, you know, the police come and talk to you, don't they? They tell you the way that you should behave. So I'm assuming that's not advisable. At the same time, also, purely because I've never really seen it before, I don't know what punishment fits that crime. I don't know how serious it's taken.
Yeah, well, I'm not too sure. It's unprecedented. It's something that we've not seen before. The police will usually come and tell you, you know, try and act accordingly. Stay on the pitch is obviously a big one. Don't jump into your fans. I've never heard them say, don't spray water on the opposition fans. But listen, it's not something you should do as a profession. You always try to uphold the best standards you possibly can. I don't know if there'll be any type of sanction. Spraying water, I mean that with it. It's not, no, he's not flung something at somebody in the crowd. So I don't imagine any sort of sanction will come his way, but of course it's something that you know he shouldn't have done.
And the other point, I listened to the phone in after the game yesterday, Gordon, and I was astonished that one of the callers came on and was blasting the referee and VAR and accusing them of losing the game for Celtic. I thought Stephen McLean had a good game yesterday.
He didn't have that many big decisions to make.
Well, I think Celtic had 10 fouls, Rangers had 13. Rangers had 3 players booked, the Celtics none. So I don't really think Celtic supporters can complain too much about Stephen McLean. I tell you, Grant Irvine had a poor refereeing performance in Andy's game at the weekend, the Olasanya sending off. Chris Graham had a poor refereeing performance in the Motherwell Kilmarnock game when Dan Casey was sent off. Alan Muir was poor as a VAR in the Premier Sports Cup final when Cherney wasn't throwing water about. Stephen McLean didn't have a poor game yesterday.
I think there actually is some communication from Celtic on that issue that Stephen mentions. With regards to the match, we can confirm the club has raised concerns regarding members of the away team engaging with Celtic supporters with the relevant authorities. So I don't know what comes of that. We'll wait and see. But thank you to Stephen. It takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
No, you're not supposed to have fun the day after very serious games like yesterday, but let's play Beat the Pundit. You need to get your call in before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025. It's a tough school on a Monday. You need to get past Andy Halliday or Roger Hanna, so give us a call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. Looking back on events at Celtic Park yesterday, of course, it was a busy weekend across the country. So if there's something else on your mind, please share it. Apologies, the phone lines obviously are wall to wall, extremely busy. Scotland squad meeting up today as well. John Carver has spoken on behalf of the coaching staff. George Hurst is now a Scotland player, or he's certainly joined up with the squad. Lennon Miller and James Wilson were there, waiting on some of the so-called big hitters to arrive. Andy Robertson obviously lost the Carabao Cup final yesterday. No McTominay or Gilmore or Ferguson yet in from Italy, but the rest are there. So any thoughts, get your calls in. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Don't forget, every caller who makes it on air to speak to the panel tonight goes into the hat for tickets to Ladies' Day at the Scottish Grand National Air Racecourse, Friday 11th of April. All we need to do, come on the phone, that's it, you're in the hat. Brent is in Tillicoultry, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
And you could win a sign ball as well. Have you ever played this before?
No, I've never played, no.
Now, Andy Halliday, you told me tonight that your mates were going to be trying to phone in and bring you down. I was keeping an eye on the phone lines, but I don't know, it's not Brent, is it? You could be friends.
Are we pals, Brent?
I wish we were pals, but we're not.
So they didn't manage. Were your pals trying to take you down?
They were. One of them's played me before. And
well, I
wasn't successful
a few years ago.
He was going for the rematch tonight. I was hoping they got in as well. But
you get a lot of that, Andy. People will talk the talk, but they just don't walk the walk.
Exactly.
You know how
well, Brent has. Brent's walked the walk. So
exactly.
Let's see how Brent gets on.
Good luck, Brent.
Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. Tails, Roger Hanna minus. What are we saying now? Still two.
One.
No.
One.
At least two.
Brent just said one.
Nah.
It'll be me anyway.
It is. It's Andy Halliday up against Brent on the line. So Andy Halliday, your mates can play along at home and see if they would beat you.
Yep.
Based on these questions. Anyway, Brent, I'll give him something else to listen to so he can't steal your answers. You will have 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. And the key generally is to pass and move on. You don't have to give me an answer, you can pass, okay?
Yep.
Right, let's get ready. 30 seconds on the clock and your time start now. Name any player who was sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Halliday.
How many goals have Rangers scored against Celtic this season?
9.
Simon Murray joined Dundee from which club?
St Johnstone.
Who's younger, Lennon Miller or James Wilson?
James Wilson.
Scotland women's national team's next game is against which country?
Greece.
Name any of the English clubs Callum Davidson played for.
St Mirren.
How many British teams are still left in the Europa League?
8.
Okay, let's bring them back. Andy Halliday, can you hear us? Yes,
okay, what good. A song we just had there. Queen, Somebody to Love.
Do you know my 4-year-old's weirdly into Queen? And I'm
really?
It's not even as if I am, really.
Yeah.
So it started with Gladiators on a Saturday night. Like, so she asks me to play another one, Bites of Dust. And this is now like, she genuinely likes the Queen back catalogue.
I thought you had her really watching Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, that'll be the next step. I love that film. Very strange. So I'm listening to a lot of Queen at the moment. Anyway, you ready, Andy?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Name any player who was sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend. How many goals have Rangers scored against Celtic this season?
9.
Simon Murray joined Dundee from which club?
Ross County.
Who is younger, Lennon Miller or James Wilson?
James Wilson.
Scotland women's national team's next game is against which country?
Germany.
Name any of the English clubs that Callum Davidson played for?
Preston.
How many British teams are left in the Europa League?
3.
Who was the last teenager to make their Scotland debut?
Ben Doak.
Okay. It is a tough school on a Monday, Brent. Have you done enough? What do you think, Brent?
Team who they played for. And I know,
Brent. I know. Is that the pressure, though? Is that what the pressure does to you?
Aye, and just no listening properly.
Anyway, let's go through them. Name any player who was sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend. You had the choice of Adeboyega in the Dundee Derby yesterday. What was that? Dogzo, Roger Hanna, in referee speak.
Yeah, and no attempt to play the ball. So, he'd have gone anyway for a booking because he's already been booked.
Fair enough. And Olasanya. St Mirren fans are not happy. Andy
scandalous to say.
Can he have 9 bookings in a game? Nine fouls, sorry.
Is that what he had? 9 fouls? Have you made that up?
No, I think somebody said 8. I just added one on to make it sound better.
8. But the decision wasn't for persistent fouling.
It's not a foul or a second booking. I'm honest enough.
You've been tongue in cheek with that 8 fouls thing.
Should have been booked earlier, maybe, but we'll let him off for that one.
Harsh, Roger. Anyway, because you need to take that, unless it's for persistent fouling, which it wasn't,
no.
Then you've got to look at that incident itself.
And this is harsh. Your pal Willie will have his say on it. I think I know what he'll say. I think I know what the KMI will say.
He's had a lot of says recently.
He has. It doesn't do St Mirren any good from being 2-0 up in that game. They finish up without Keelan Boyd Munch, without Jonah Younger, and without Lasagna.
No, I'm worried about a technicality here. I can't remember. I'm putting it out there in case it comes back to bite us. It's nothing to do with VAR, so I don't know if it will be in the VAR review. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, true,
right? I don't know.
Oh, right. So I can't remember. Controversial decision that Aidan Motherwell might not be in your show. Okay.
Well, what's the show?
Just to clarify.
What's the show called? If any of the pundits should be good with words, it's you.
It's called The VAR Show.
Right. The what? Sorry? The what show?
The VAR Show.
Right.
It's not called that.
What is it good for?
The clues in the title.
No.
Right.
You need to.
It's not hard to figure out.
As Stephen Robinson said after the game, you need to widen the scope. Right.
To suit one incident.
To suit your journalistic talents should drive you to ask that question of Willie Connor.
We'll change the name of the show for Roger Hanna, right?
The World Review.
Right, where were we? We got distracted. Olasanya, 1-0 Andy Halliday. You got on the board pretty quickly though, Brent. You knew that Rangers have scored 9 against Celtic this season. So it is 2-1 to Andy. Simon Murray joined Dundee from Ross County, 3-1 to Andy. You wouldn't go away though, Brent. You got that James Wilson is younger. Lennon Miller turns 19 in August. It's next March before James Wilson turns 19.
Just turned 18, yep. Didn't
so you both got it, but Andy's keeping up his run. This is when I knew, Brent, that you had the bit between his teeth today, because Scotland women's national team's next game is Germany. Well done, Andy Halliday. Brent went for Greece, maybe just hoping that it was a men's and women's doubler. Yeah. Name any of the English teams Callum Davidson played for. Not only did Brent say St Mirren, who are obviously not English, Callum Davidson didn't play for them either.
Blackburn,
Leicester, Preston. Or Preston. And Brent, I was worried for you. I think you were gone at this point, Brent. You had 8 teams still left from Britain in the Europa League, which is quite something. It's only 3: Rangers, Spurs and Man United. And they got it. And he got one more question. Who's the last teenager to make their debut for Scotland? Is Ben Doak.
Are you going for 10?
I've never had the 10.
Seriously?
Yeah, never.
So hold on, you're top of the table, 100% record, never, but you've it. Never gone the 10.
No. Marvin Bartley's had it, right?
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he has.
No, he hasn't.
We took it away from him.
Hugh Keenan's had it. Dazza's had it.
Well, shame on you, really, then, for taking so long. Right, come on, give me the dramatic music. Let's put the man through his paces.
How many have I got left? 3?
I only got 2.
Oh.
I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, you're going to get it. These are easy.
Devastated.
Should I change one of them out of badness?
If you want.
Who's been bottom of the championship since match day 6?
Airdrie.
Michael Tidzer joined Dunfermline as manager from which club?
Celtic Hearts.
There you go.
I thought I wasn't getting my music there.
You've had your big
change
moment.
Change that to the Europa League one.
How does it feel?
It feels brilliant. It's been a long time coming.
Everything you thought you'd achieved in the game all led to this moment.
What a weekend you're having.
Not really, we drew two each.
Who? Oh, you play for Motherwell, that's right. Sorry, yeah.
Brent, that's listen, right. He was going to be a hard man to beat in that form. You didn't do enough hard lines.
Beat from a Rangers legend, I'm fine.
Well, you've just ruined it, Brent. We were getting on famously before that. Thank Cheers, you very Brent. Much.
Right, thanks.
There what we go. A weekend. St. Patrick's Day as well, Andy.
Last couple of days has been <You're>
celebrating. Do you know what? Do you know who's jumping about the living room right now? The guy that's got the Andy Halliday t-shirt and scarf from last weekend.
My mate was supposed to phone in. Oh, if I got to 10 against him.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were still talking about the guy that had the scarf.
No, that would have been
t-shirt.
That would have been unreal. That would have made it all the better.
What if he'd got them all right as well?
They were fairly
doable.
I don't think he would have got the Scotland's women. Or the he would have maybe got Michael Tidd's, to be fair.
Well, there you go. A 10 on your CV.
Wonderful.
Well done to you. 0141 951 1025. Johnny is on. How are you, Johnny?
I'm not bad. A bit disappointed after yesterday, but like I say, I've had a night to calm down a bit, reflect. But yeah, I've got a wee issue with Andy, first of all, and I've got actually a question for him, if that's okay.
Yeah, take it away.
Just, I don't agree with him saying that Rangers have dominated the last three games. I think that's a bit extreme. I would definitely give him Ibrox, but the League Cup final and yesterday, I don't think they dominated the full game. They play away, which frustrates and is totally against how Celtic play, and they benefit from individual mistakes, but they didn't dominate the game. That's just not what I saw anyway.
What do you think, Andy? Defend yourself.
I think the League Cup final, Rangers were deserving winners in my opinion. Fair play to Celtic, Rangers didn't. Celtic went on to win it, fair play, they won. I think you can dominate a game in two different ways. I think you can control the pitch or you can control the ball. I thought Rangers controlled the pitch yesterday for large periods of the game. Celtic do what they do, they moved the ball about, they had loads of possession of the ball. I thought they were extremely ineffective with it. I don't think they created any real meaningful chances out with the goal up until the Alistair Johnson chance in the last minute. Yet Rio Hatate has a wonderful individual effort for 25 yards that Jack Butland tips around the post. You know, Brendan Rodgers said that Jack Butland had a great game and numerous saves. I disagree. I think out with that Hatate save, I think the rest were, well, the other couple I can remember were pretty routine. Navrovsky has a decent chance with the header that you'd expect Jack Butland to save all day long. But again, like I said, I think out with that Alistair Johnson chance in the last minute, I thought Celtic were really effective in the final third. And I think Rangers should have been out of sight in the first half. If Vaclav Chernyk can pass a ball into the net for 35 yards out, then it's 3-0 going into half time.
But I know you're saying, Andy, but that's kind of what I'm saying, that their mistakes made by Celtic.
I agree with you.
Kasper Schmeichel literally passed the ball 10 yards into Chernyk. I mean, you can't really legislate for that. It's not Rangers' dominance which has caused Schmeichel to pass the ball straight to him. I mean, apart from Chelney's chance, which, again, like I say, I do agree he should have scored, and I think I would have made it 3-0 at the time. I can't remember Rangers having many chances either.
Yeah, listen, Joe, I'm not saying that I don't think Rangers were outstanding on the ball. I don't think they played a really, really expansive, attractive game, but I thought their game plan that they had was extremely effective, and that's why I thought they deserved to win the game. Like I says, I don't think they dominated I'm not saying they dominated the ball. I'm not saying they created numerous opportunities, but I thought they dominated the pitch. I thought they allowed Celtic to play in certain areas of the pitch, and I thought their gameplay, when they won it back, or their gameplay out of possession, was excellent. And listen, you can say it was Celtic's errors. Rangers forced Celtic into a lot of errors yesterday. And the Schmeichel error still comes because Vaclav Chernyk's proactive in how he presses the pitch, and then he reads the pass that Kasper Schmeichel's going to make. Yes, Kasper Schmeichel underhits it, but Vaclav Chernyk still does extremely well to read it. And then again, I still can't believe now that he's not just passed into the net.
But listen, in sport, you would like to think that all your victories come from fantastic play by you. Sometimes in sport, victories come from mistakes, slip-ups by your opponent. Rory McIlroy won the golf today because the guy in the playoff put the ball into the water. So that doesn't take away from his achievement at winning. There's not an asterisk next to Rory McIlroy saying only won because the other guy put the ball in the water. So there's not an asterisk there to say Rangers only won because Celtic made mistakes. No, that's what it's about. Rangers forced Celtic mistakes. Celtic are culpable of some unforced errors as well. But that is sport. You know, Rangers won the game. I'm sure Celtic have won games against Rangers in recent years when Rangers have made mistakes. Sometimes that's just the way it works.
I agree with that, Roger. But what I'm saying is, I don't think Rangers dominated the game, and that's what Andy said. I think the game was, over the piece, was pretty even. And I think that it could have been 3-2 to Celtic as easily as it could have been 3-2 to Rangers. But my second point, though, Andy, was sort of more about mentality, I suppose, in football. And I do wonder if some of the Celtic players, for the league anyway, their minds are maybe away in the beach in Ibiza or Dubai or something like that. And that wee extra 2%, 3% does make a massive difference. I mean, I've never seen Carter Vickers or Johnson play as badly as that. And I know, again, I know maybe the way Rangers set up, it forces them in errors, but we've played good teams in the Champions League this season, and they've not made as many mistakes in-game as they made yesterday. I mean, some of it was actually, it was amateur. It really, I mean, that the third goal, I don't know what Carter Vickers is doing. That's something you see in Sunday League, that the striker runs forward and the defender runs with him and gets sucked right under the ball. Alistair Johnson, who, to be fair, should have been probably off with about half an hour to go, his legs just give way. I mean, I don't know what his tackle is for Onigamani as well. It's like a sort of a wee dangly
half
leg.
Attempt,
yeah. So I don't know, at that level, does that make a difference? Because, like I said, I know the league's not won, but it's all but one. And I do think that some of the players are kind of away, not on the game. And my fear is, if we play like that, even against St Johnstone in the Cup semi-final, and definitely against Hearts or Aberdeen if we make it to the final, we'll be making it really difficult for ourselves to win the treble. There's this talk that I heard Roger earlier on saying it, that Celtic should win the treble, and they should. But if we play like that,
end of his
game, it's not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with you in respects to Alistair Johnson and Cameron Carter-Vickers. I actually said at the start of the game yesterday that I think they're two players that have played a minimum 7 out of 10 every Old Firm game that I've seen them play since they came to the football club. I thought yesterday you'd be doing very well to combine both of their scores and make it a 7. Again, it was that surprising. It's not something, it was really uncharacteristic from them. I thought Carter Vickers, he's always so assured on the ball. He always defends 1v1 situations really well. I thought he looked frantic. And Alistair Johnson, I think it was just one of the games where just nothing could go right for him. And it almost got that sense when it fell to them, that the chance falls to him of all people in the last chance of the game. It was just kind of summed up his afternoon. I was listening to Neil Lennon. I was saying to the guys in the studio, I watched the game back last night, and I was listening to Neil Lennon in the studio. Just once, yeah. And I was listening to Neil Lennon in the studio, and I thought it was really interesting what he said when he was talking about Celtic's lack of big domestic games recently. And I can kind of, I could get what he was saying, in the sense that they are 16 points clear. And listen, not within Celtic, but people out there have been saying it's a dead rubber, it doesn't mean anything in the context of the game. So again, does that play into, are these players playing on an edge constantly every single game, where they have to be on top of their game because they know if they slip up points, they drop points, then it's going to have a benefiting factor towards Rangers or whatever the league title is going to
determine. Brendan Rodgers would be adamant that that is not, you know, that is not the case.
No,
so,
but I just mean psychologically for a player, is it that, you know, you've not had to be on top of your game all day, like for 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row, and then these big games come? But again, it's really difficult to explain it otherwise, because like I says, I think Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers have been two of the most consistent performers for Celtic for a number of games.
And listen, you can add Nicholas Kuhn to that, you can add Engels and Ida to that. A lot of the big players just didn't turn up yesterday, Andy. It's as simple as that. I know what you mean about, did they get enough competition? We weren't having this conversation 7 days ago when they easily put away a very strong Hibernian team in a Scottish Cup quarter final to reach the semi final against St Johnson. So I think, you know, there was some Celtic fans won't want to accept it, but a lot of the players didn't perform the way they can yesterday. And unfortunately, in a fixture of that importance, when Rangers play the way they did, that leaves you open to losing the game, and they did lose the game.
Thank you, Johnny. 01419511025. Plenty more time for your calls next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. 01419511025 is the number that you need. So do give me a call or tweet at Clyde SSB if there's anything you think we've missed from the weekend. Get it over to us. Again, it's just duty bound to apologise if you can't get through in a night like tonight, because it is incredibly busy, which is a nice thing. It's a nice problem to have, but I appreciate it can be frustrating. So keep going. This teaser is actually hurting my head, and I've got the answers written in front of me. So we'll see how we go. Thanks to the Crazy Pony. It's very much aimed at you, Andy Halliday.
That's it.
Although Roger Hannah probably knows your career
more than
better than you do. Can you name 9 Scottish players that have played with 3 or more of Andy Halliday's clubs, but the 3 clubs must at least cover 1 from England and 1 from Scotland?
Wow.
I know. I don't know why we've done this. That's too hard. I should have checked this.
3 or more?
9 Scottish players that have played with 3 or more of your clubs, but that spread of 3 must include an English club and a Scottish club. What?
That's unreal, but so right, hard.
Hold on a wee. So we go Livy, Rangers, Motherwell, Hearts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough, Blackpool.
Bradford.
Come on now, Crazy Pony.
Do they need to have played with Andy at those clubs?
No, I don't think so, actually.
Livy, Rangers.
You can get back to me. He's still writing
why
down
am
the clubs
I
that he played
for. You
can get back to me.
Yeah, I would definitely
give you some thinking time. Good. Yeah, we can. That's excruciatingly hard, I must admit. But anyway, it's just a bit of fun. We don't have to dwell on it too long because we've got loads of callers tonight. And don't forget, every caller who makes it onto the show goes into the hat for tickets to Ladies' Day at the Scottish Grand National Air Racecourse Friday, 11th April. So 2 club badges available tonight. And every night, we'll then up the ante with an even better prize on Friday. Just give us a call. Every caller that goes on air gets in the draw. Gary is a Rangers fan. How's it going, Gary?
Absolutely delighted with the performance that we put in yesterday from the boys.
Did you see it coming, Gary?
Actually, never. The kind of lead up to the Old Firm game, I was a bit flat. Being as far behind Celtic, it's one of the things where going into it, I was fully expecting Celtic to take advantage, especially with us playing in the European in the competition, and you're looking at it thinking, well, I think Celtic will capitalise on us. I was very, very shocked with the way we performed in the first half. I thought, however, the second half, I thought that it was that Celtic had the better of the possession, and I thought when it got to 2-2, I really did think that Celtic were going to sit there and get the third goal. But I mean, fair play to Agyeman coming on and scoring the goal to obviously make it 3-2, and Cherny's celebration was absolutely classical.
What does it all say about Barry Ferguson, Gary, for you?
It just says that, I mean, it goes to show you that he's capable of getting results, and that the players are capable of putting in a shift. And I know it's absolutely fantastic, the fact that he's came in and he's got the morale kind of heightened, and it really is. I'm pleased for him because, well, he's fair away coming in and doing the job, and I really hope that he gets it at the end of the season because he fully deserves it.
You think he does? You're convinced already?
Well, yeah, it's one of the things. I know that I do understand when he came in that we were 2-0 down to Kilmarnock, and then obviously we pulled it back and we got a bad result against Motherwell. But I mean, it's one of the things where the likes of coming in and getting through to the quarterfinals and obviously getting a great result against Celtic. I'm not sitting there for 1 minute doubting that the next couple of games that they'll be difficult, and we've still got the games of the split coming up. But it's one of the things where I'm proud the fact he's came in and he's actually made a difference, and they looked like a team instead of maybe about a month ago there was no structure to the side. They were going out and you couldn't even see a proper formation. So in terms of that, I'm absolutely delighted that he's came in and he's got some sort of a game plan.
How much is different tactically, Andy? I mean, there's an obvious difference in that he's played a different formation.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that sharper football minds like yours has picked up that we can't see?
Right now, I'm not too sure. I think my judgment will be best disclosed when I see them in these domestic games where they have to break teams down. That's my own personal opinion. Obviously, the change has been mainly the change of shape. It's went to a back five. They've went to a really aggressive approach. I stress that I love the tactical tweaks that they made going into that game at the weekend from the game on Thursday. I thought the switch for Tavernier to Sterling was really important.
Is his flexibility in game more than what we've seen before as well?
Yeah, well, that's something he's referenced. He wants his team to be more flexible. I think the return of Dujon Sterling really helps in that, given how versatile he is. And then again, it was just the slight tweak by pushing Czerny up alongside Dessers in their press out of possession. I think in possession is really, really difficult to say because three of the games we've watched Barry Ferguson in charge out the five have been counter-attacking, games where they've not had to dominate the ball.
And one of the other, it was you that was...
The other two was us. Ibrox where we win 2-0 and the other two was 2-0 down at Kilmarnock where they come back to win 4-2, so I still think it's early in that respect, but listen, I've no doubt they've now got 8 domestic games from now to the end of the season where they'll be expected to dominate the ball a lot more. The next Old Firm game at Ibrox, they'll be expected to dominate the ball a wee bit more as well, so I think time will tell.
It'll be fascinating to see as well what he does at Dens in terms of personnel and formation. Does he stick with the back three, because he hasn't done it against further down the league Premiership opposition? It's only been against Fenerbahce and Celtic that he's tried this. Is this the way forward for Rangers, or was it simply horses for courses for these three games in the last week?
How big a moment, Andy, for Hamza Egeman, who obviously came in and impressed the Rangers fans quite quickly? They got very excited. They then maybe had to, well, he had to come out of the team, which tells its own story. So for him to come in and have that type of contribution at the end of a run without a goal.
Yeah, I think it's huge for him. He was getting loads and loads of plaudits, and I was one of them for since his introduction to the team. I thought he was a real breath of fresh air. He was almost a maverick. He would play off the cuff, but he looked as if he had all the attributes for such a young player. Clearly got technical ability, got a great first touch, got a bit of flair, got a bit of athleticism, but like all young players, struggled to find that consistency. I thought he dropped out of form for 5, 6, 7 games, and it wasn't even just the lack of goals. I thought it was his overall performance. Barry Ferguson really wasn't happy with him with the game against Motherwell, took him off at half time in that game, and then since then you've got to say Dessers has done extremely well to keep the jersey, so it's been really difficult for him to get back in and get a start again. But what an introduction at the weekend there. I agree with a couple of calls that have phoned in saying you felt as if all the momentum was going towards Celtic once they get that equaliser, and he kind of creates the goal out of nothing, you've got to say. Dessers does his most to put Cameron Carter-Vickers off, and then from there it's all about the individual quality. He cuts back onto his right foot and it's an unbelievable finish to win any game of football.
Thank you, Gary. A lot of praise one of you gave Nicholas Raskin, your man of the weekend. I think it was Andy. Barry Ferguson says the midfielder obviously had an impressive game but still has some things to learn.
Good, but it can get better. Can get better. His positional sense needs to get better, but he's a boy who is desperate to learn, and I love that in players. And I said to him, listen, you can still be learning at 36, 37 when I retired. I was still learning things in the game, so he's got a lot of things to work on, but one thing he's got is he's prepared to do that, and he's prepared to listen. And I think since I've took over the job, he's been a real driving force in the middle of the pitch.
Kevin Thompson.
How much people are obviously going to make this connection. I mean, you've worked under him as well. People kind of hoping, I think, if they're Rangers fans, that Barry Ferguson's midfield know-how rubs off, particularly on Nicholas Raskin, who plays the same position. I think Barry Ferguson joked on Friday.
Yeah, I like that.
I've told him, look what I've done with him in 2 weeks. I've got him in the Belgium squad. How important is he becoming, or is, for Rangers currently?
Hugely important. I think he's had a terrific season. I think, like most, he's had a couple of weeks here and there where his form's dropped a little bit, but I think for the most part he's been probably the top three in terms of Rangers' most consistent performance. I think it was it Fluke come on that says he changed his diet, or they got a personal chef or something like that, and generally since then it does feel as if he's had a new lease of life. Dazza as well talked about when he got that armband at the Old Firm game, which is an added bonus to him as well at Ibrox. But I think he's been terrific this year, and I must say as well, you heard him so many times in interviews say that he felt as if his best position was that deep lying midfielder, that number six. I think he's proven that right this year. I think he's been excellent.
Many goals did you score for Rangers?
I don't know, I'd be guessing. I'll go 20.
Yeah, I think he scored 3, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, for the time he's been at the football club, it's not good enough. So I think maybe he's had that wee nod to say, you're a box-to-box player, and that means not just a number six role. Again, it's a culture of excuse. He was allowed to sit there and not contribute in the final third. Barry Ferguson's got him contributing in the final third. Goal, assist yesterday. He had that header in the 3-0 game at the start of the year that Robin Proper eventually knocked it, you know, knocked into the net. That's maybe giving him a wee kick on, as the Dazzler says. But I think Barry Ferguson is now urging him to get forward and contribute at that end of the park, because if you're a central midfielder at Rangers, 3 goals in 3 years isn't good enough.
Let's bring in Brian, who's on the line. How are you, Brian?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Thanks for letting me spout the rubbish I'm going to spout in a second.
Not at all. That's a good setup, that, Brian. Set the expectations nice and low. What are you thinking then?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say Rangers were the better team. I'm a Celtic supporter. I thought Rangers were kind of first to the important balls during the game. I thought they had more, they were faster. They were definitely more physical than Celtic were. So I'm kind of making a point that before I say what I'm going to say, I thought Rangers were the better team. But going back to one of your original callers, or earlier callers rather, about the referee, I thought the referee was really, really poor. In fact, I like to think I'm fair. I like to think if, as I've just said, if a team's a better team, and if a guy scores a goal, like the third goal, what a goal, I said, at the game, what a goal, what a cracker, that's the way I am. But all through the game, I felt the game was spoiled. I wasn't enjoying it because of the referee. One, he was miles away from everything that was happening. Any incident that happened, he was 30, 40 yards away. By the way, his linesman never helped. The time wasting, smaller teams always come to Celtic Park and time waste. But that's as bad as I've ever seen yesterday, from throw-ins to players going down with cramp and injured, and Stephen McLean standing. He wasn't even standing with the people who were down injured. He was standing 10 yards away, just allowing it. Trainers weren't coming on. Players were, I mean, even going back to the third goal, the guy, I don't know if he's Muslim or whatever, but he was kneeling praying on the park for 30 seconds, and Stephen McLean was standing 20 yards away with his hands behind his back, just watching. All the other players already had celebrated for a minute, and they had walked up the park, and this guy's still kneeling down, and Stephen McLean's not saying a word. And then at the end of the game, we get 5 minutes injury time, and I'm saying to the guys round about me, well, at least we're going to get about 8, 9 or 10, because Stephen McLean keeps tapping his watch to players. But he never done anything about it. And as I said, a couple of the tackles were right over the top. Two in Maeda were easily bookings, if not more, right in front of linesmen. Stephen McLean was 40 yards away in both the tackles. So to save Roger, to quote a few stats about I booked three Rangers players, not, and whatever other stats he said, means nothing if the referee wasn't doing his job. And honestly, I'll park it, because it wasted the whole game for me. Not the result, not the Celtic performance, which I'll talk about in a second. The referee, the whole game, wasn't with it. Wasn't with the pace of the game or anything. Anyway,
I think the assistant VAR nowadays, Roger, keeps the time, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, I'm
not having Stephen McLean responsible for Celtic's defeat yesterday. It's as simple as that. I'm not having it. People can look at whatever game you want. I thought Stephen McLean's performance in a season when we've had a lot of proper refereeing controversies, your VAR show.
But it's VAR the KMIs, review, thank you.
There you go. The VAR review. We'll get his name changed.
Thanks for watching.
We do watch. We'll fill a paper with it. You've had a lot of proper refereeing controversies.
And do you know
to
what this does,
season,
to be honest?
Stephen, and Willie, your pal Willie, will tell you Stephen McLean was fine yesterday.
That's the thing. It's all personal opinion, obviously, and Brian feels that way. But I think once we do this, it's almost like, kind of, I don't know if the boy that cried wolf's the right phrase here, but it demeans the genuine refereeing mistakes, Roger. Because if we're just always going to act like games have been heavily influenced by refs, even at times when they've not, then it's hard to take it seriously when there is a, you know, when there's a legitimate concern. You know, to complain about, Brian's complaining about the 5 minutes and expecting 8, 9 or whatever. The only time you ever get the long, what was yours at the weekend?
14.
Is if you've got, first of all, long VAR checks. That's what you're looking for nowadays. There were none. There was not a single long VAR check. You're looking for serious delays. Now, Brian might think he's counted them all up, but maybe it is just wrong. Maybe it's me. Maybe I've picked it up wrong, Andy. It didn't feel like a game yesterday that I was expecting loads of additional time.
Nope. And my first comment when we got into this studio after the game was, you know what? I'm so happy we're not going to have a week, 2 week, 3 week long phone calls about how poor the ref was and he cost this result. And, I'm really shocked that that's the third call we now had that's talking about Stephen McLean's refereeing performance yesterday. I thought it was a fairly routine game for him as well. I don't think there was any big decisions to be made or any major controversy, so I don't even know how he could be poor. I don't think there was anything really controversial that was to be debated about. I think you could talk about, for me, maybe Tom Lawrence could have got booked for a late challenge, but again, nothing that was result defining, which is the most important thing. And other than that, I agree with Roger. I thought he had a perfectly fine performance.
You'll have to agree to disagree with the guys, Brian, but we'll speak again. Thank you. That was Brian from Broomhill. Very quickly, we're a bit late for this actually. This question's incredible. Can you name 9 Scottish players that have played with 3 or more of Andy Halliday's former clubs or clubs, but it must have an English club in there and a Scottish club? So any?
I'm toiling big time, but you've got a cut one, I've got a cut one.
Danny Wilson.
Rangers, Blackpool, Hearts and Livy. He's done 4, yes.
Lee Miller.
Hearts, Middlesbrough, Livy, yes.
Ryan Hardy.
Rangers, Livy, Blackpool, yes.
And I need to give my mum credit for this. My mum's messing with this one.
Well, she knows your career inside out. Every time I go to Fir Park, I see her there.
I did not know Ian Black played for Blackpool.
Hearts, Rangers, Blackpool, well done. Andy's mum. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls after these.
Step around Scotland for Cash for Kids Day.
Don't forget, get the trainers on, get the walking boots on, because we're going to step around Scotland. We've got a big challenge we've set up for ourselves with our friends at 101 Convenience Stores. We're going to walk 16 million steps. Not just us, we can't do it without your help. So that's where you come in. You can get involved in so many different ways. Of course, you could get your school involved, your work involved, but one of the best ways would be to sign up for the Kilt Walk, taking place 26th and 27th of April. You can walk anywhere from 3 up to 23 miles whilst helping us hit that target. And if you get in touch with the Cash for Kids team, you can claim your place for free. So we're all building up. Cash for Kids Day is the 1st of May. We want to hit the 16 million steps before then, and we need your help. So sign up at Clyde1.com, and it is all for Cash for Kids Day, proudly supported by 101 Convenience Stores.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a very fast show, very busy on the phones, and we're into the final part tonight. So let's quickly look at this teaser. It's extremely difficult, but we have to put these two on the spot because they're know-it-alls. So the Crazy Pony says, can you name 9 Scottish players that have played with 3 or more of Andy Halliday's clubs, but one of them must be from England, one of them must be from Scotland, i.e. Ian Black, Ryan Hardy, Lee Miller, Danny Wilson. Greg has thrown in some answers to me on Instagram. We've got Lewis McKenzie got Danny Wilson as well.
Gary McKenzie
played for Rangers, Blackpool, Bradford.
Bradford, yeah.
Well done.
Do you have one there?
No, I don't.
I just had one in my head and it's gone.
Some of these are so difficult. So difficult.
Is there a goalie there? Dad says there's always a goalie.
Oh, yeah. That my guess was a goalie. Is there a goalie there? John McLaughlin?
No. This is so bad.
No,
right? There's one on here that I honestly need to check if he was a goalie.
Rangers, Hearts and Bradford.
No.
John McLaughlin.
Maybe no, played for Bradford then.
He's for Bradford in the League Cup final.
I thought he did.
Wembley.
Oh, it shows you if you can beat the Crazy Pony. I think you may be right.
I think, let me just Google that.
I think you'll be right.
I thought John McLaughlin was one. But
oh, there we go. Okay. Anyway, we'll get back to them. Right, let's tidy up from the weekend. I know it's been so busy. Andy, your 2-0 draw, Motherwell, St Mirren.
Yes.
What did you make of it overall?
Again, still kind of seeing signs of what the new manager wants. You know, he wants us to have more possession of the ball. I think we had 61%, which is, I think our average this season has been 35 or 36 or something like that. So positives in that respect. But to be honest, don't think we've done enough to win the game. I think in the final third, not enough clear-cut chances. I think Tom Sparrow has a one-on-one with the goalkeeper inside the first minute. But other than that, yeah, I thought a draw was probably a fair result.
The battle for the top six, how are you feeling? Because suppose in one sense it's a missed opportunity because you were the team in sixth.
Yep.
And then Hearts going, they're rubbing their hands that you two drew because they won and they now go into sixth place.
Yeah, I thought it was a missed opportunity, to be honest. I thought it would have been a real key and important 3 points. That being said, I don't think at this stage of the season there's bad points either, so it's not too disheartened to coming away with a point. But listen, the aim going into the game is 3. And I think especially with St Mirren going down to 10 men, what was the 80 something minute or something, you know you've got an opportunity to try and get that winner, especially when there is 14 minutes added on. But unfortunately didn't manage to do that, but it's still so tight. You know what my thinking is as well, get enough points to stay in the league and then take it for there and hopefully you can get the top 6.
Honestly, so negative.
Listen, it's honest.
I think the fact that Hearts go to Celtic Park next must help you. You know, you're at Aberdeen. If you're going to get into the top 6, I think your fixtures look okay. You've got, is it Aberdeen? You've got Kelly
away, Hearts at home.
There you go.
It's going to go down to that last game
I think it very probably will, because it wouldn't surprise me if you got above Hearts or at least, you know, get level with them again on 39 points, because you can't see Hearts getting much from Celtic Park off the back of Celtic's display yesterday.
What about the Dundee derby and how much is that caused you to reevaluate where maybe where both teams are at, but particularly Dundee?
Do you know what it's made me reevaluate? Something that me and you have argued for a while.
What?
The split. I think we're in for a right good split for once.
Oh, I could have told you that. Just listen to me for once.
I think it gets that, leaves St John's now a wee bit disjointed again away for the pack. They were clawing away points. You got it to 2. They would have sensed an opportunity at home to Aberdeen at the weekend. Obviously got that 0-0 victory. And from a St John's point of view, they would have been hoping that Dundee United done them a favour going into the game yesterday. But Dundee, huge win. But I still, for me, Gordon, I still think there's 6-7 clubs that are right in amongst it for a number of positions across the table, so it is so tight. And for the first time ever, I don't mind a split.
But perception can definitely change, Roger. I don't know about how it will end up, but so many people had Dundee in real trouble going into the weekend. It's a lot harder to feel that way after they walk up the hill and win 4-2.
And then you see them play yesterday and look as if they should be nailed on for the top 6. They were terrific yesterday.
What was it, 2 goals disallowed?
It's bonkers. And then again, they play Rangers next, so that's a tough game for them. What it does do is, didn't realise it at the time, it shows the importance of that Fraser Murray stoppage time goal for Kilmarnock at the weekend against Hibs. If Kilmarnock had lost to Hibs, they would be level on points with Dundee in that relegation playoff place. That could turn out to be a good, you know, a big goal. And St Mirren v Killy, injury hit, suspension hit St Mirren against Killy when we're back in a couple of weeks will be a real 6-pointer.
Wish we had time to do this. Something I really want to get your thoughts on quickly, Andy, before we go. I don't know if you saw comments from the Scotland camp today. John Carver saying he thought Lennon Miller made a mistake. Just a mistake with the comments he made. Lennon Miller was asked about getting into the Scotland squad and he said that, you know, kind of believes he could be the best player on the squad in time. Mm-hmm. John Carver says, you know, it's a mistake. He's young, he'll learn from it, that sort of thing.
Listen, I must be honest, I only seen briefly the interview, but I didn't like John Carver's comments. I would have liked to see him protect Lennon a wee bit more, because having listened to the interview, having known Lennon, for me, it was taken out of context, the full thing. So I would have just liked that to be that. Say that, it was taken out of context. You know,
it's actually not even a mistake.
It's not even a mistake for me. Clearly, Lennon didn't mean that he thinks he's going to be the best Scotland midfielder in weeks to come, or months to come, whatever it may be. But it's disappointing for me as well, because I feel as if Lennon got a wee bit down about it after the case. You know, if he knew, it got brought out of context, what he says, and I think he just wanted it all die down. It's been brought up again, and I would have liked to have seen them protect him a wee bit more in that scenario.
I wish we had more time, because there's a lot coming out of the Scotland camp today. But quickly on your teaser, do you know what I'll do? I'll put John McLaughlin because there's a name on there you'll never get, so I'll swap him in for that. Tommy Wright played for Middlesbrough, Bradford and Livy. Not that one. Anyway, so John McLaughlin's in, Danny Wilson, Lee Miller, Gary McKenzie, Ryan Hardy, Ian Black. What about someone who played Rangers, Blackpool, Motherwell, as well as Falkirk, St Mirren,
Gow?
Yes, oh, Alan Gow. Going back a bit, Hearts, Rangers, Middlesbrough.
You go biggin. Alan McLaren or something. Dave McPherson.
What if his son was in this Scotland squad?
Derek Ferguson?
No, the other one. His son plays in Austria.
Alan Johnson.
Alan Johnson, yeah.
And the last one, I'll put you out your misery because we're out of time. Rangers, Hearts, Blackpool, Stephen Boyack. Pretty tough school that. That was too difficult. I'm sorry, but they need to be tough on a Monday. Right, we are back tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Join us then. Enjoy the rest of your evening.